Praise the Lord. We have already heard a wonderful word, but before we hear a testimony and go into the word, I would like to welcome everyone who is here this evening. I have many greetings to pass on from the brothers and sisters in Romania and Czechoslovakia. I have special greetings for Brother Rus, Brother Schmidt, Brother Siegfried, and the entire congregation. My heart is moved when I think of the past few days. It is impossible to express in retrospect what happens during such days and hours. You have to experience it for yourself. In any case, many of the brothers and I myself have probably never experienced so many tears, gratitude, and emotion as we have in the past few days. The people are grateful for the word, for the spiritual food, and above all, for what God is doing now. And they express it. And Brother Rus, I would like to say to you what the brothers have asked me to say again and again. Give special greetings to Brother Rus. They appreciate it so much and can put themselves in our position. They know that I travel a lot and that you are placed by God in this place to serve together with the brothers here. And we appreciate it when people have open eyes and open hearts. The same brothers appreciate what is being translated, and we don't want to mention any names, but the spiritual food we receive here is also available to them there, and that is something very precious and wonderful. The brothers who mourn our brother say with tears in their eyes, "We are grateful that he is with you, because through him we are provided for." As great as the pain was on the one hand, to lose a brother with whom one is connected, so deep is the joy, on the other hand, and the gratitude that they are spiritually provided for. We, in this place, must learn anew to be grateful. I tell you, I am not a person who easily has tears in my eyes. I am a tough person, but in this situation, one must give in to the inner urge and join in giving thanks to God with all those who can thank Him from the bottom of their hearts. I say it again, the time has done me good, especially seeing how connected they are to all of us. They are here in spirit and thank God for what He has done. I believe that Czechoslovakia has remained the most spiritually intact of all countries. There is probably no comparable spiritual state from one end of the country to the other, as there is there. And God has granted grace so that among the brothers there is harmony, no competition, no need for recognition. Everyone serves with a gift God gave them and where the Lord placed them. And I have said to some brothers in one of the cities that when I visit Poland next year, I will invite them all to travel with me as a united team, as reinforcement in the kingdom of God. And when they said in unison, Brother Frank, we will all gladly come with you. And as you know, the more people appear in battle, the greater the victory can be, the faster it can be. We rejoice with all who are in the truth, with all who love God, who love His people, who love His word, with all who sincerely trust and serve the Lord. As far as the spiritual realm is concerned, we can only thank God, and everything else seems to be normalizing and improving in the countries. A year ago, or 2 or 3 years ago, it would have been unthinkable that in a socialist, communist, atheist country, a policeman would meet believers on their way to baptism and say, "Where are you going?" And they say, "To be baptized." And then he says, "Then I will protect you." And the man stands guard while the baptism takes place. This is incomprehensible to us. I could tell you a few things. The change is here. The time has come in every respect. In a country that has taught nothing but atheism in its schools for 40 years, the headmaster says, under pressure from the Vatican, religious education must now be taught in schools. Things are taking their course. We observe them on the right and on the left and move on within God's plan in the midst of everything that is happening on the right and on the left. We have nothing in common with either side. We are just redeeming the time and opportunity to advance God's cause. And to this end, the Lord has given us wisdom and grace and will continue to do so. In any case, finally, for those who arrived briefly or a little later, God has blessed us and will continue to bless us. I thank you for your prayers, and I hope that it is true that we really stand up for one another. And when I heard that the weekend here was particularly blessed, I was deeply happy. I don't know how you feel. There are people, I will mention only two groups at the moment. Some are happy and others are gloating. I am happy. I am one of those people who are happy, who can rejoice when God blesses. When a meeting is blessed, I rejoice with all my heart. And we want to thank God that this is so. And when things are not quite so, we also want to thank the Lord for His grace and for being with us. We have read a wonderful scripture. We are called to be sober and watchful in this word. And you know how it is with the Holy Scripture. It is always timely. It never becomes outdated. What you read in the Bible is never outdated. It is always relevant. You cannot say, "Huh, that was for back then." No, it is forever, for the entire people of God, at all times, in all places, no matter to whom the letters were addressed at the time, they were addressed to all believers, in all places, at all times. And so God speaks to us through His Word to this day. And the admonition is, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The devil walketh around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But thank God that he has no claim on us. The devil has lost his claim on us. I read that today in the sermon. I had to read up on something in the sermon entitled The Rapture. And there Brother Branham explains the difference between forgiveness and justification. If you read the last 10 pages, you will find it. He says, you can have done something, and then it will be forgiven, but you still did it, and then it is forgiven. And then he says, if we are believers, then we have been justified from what we have done. And this divine justification means that we have not actually done it in the eyes of God. Not only acquittal, but it does not exist at all. And he says, God has thrown it into the sea of forgetfulness. I believe we would do well to read the sermons from time to time and believe what we read for ourselves and for others, so that our spiritual condition can improve. For if we do not see and accept it correctly, that is, through revelation, then the devil will torment us. You did this and you did that. And I ask you, who among us could possibly do right in the eyes of the devil? You could do whatever you wanted, and the devil would always find something wrong with you. That is his job. And then to accuse you, he must remain silent. God has given us atonement through the holy blood of the Lamb. And in this divine reconciliation, we have been restored to the divine state as if we had never been separated from God, as if we had never sinned. So, where are all the amens and the hallelujahs?
Amen.
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 Amen. That's how it is. Read it. Too bad. I brought a songbook with me. I should have brought the sermon with me. I had both of them, in English and German, in front of me today, and I read them. But that's how it is. We must, by revelation, and it is a revelation, and if it is revealed to us by God, that He was made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. I ask you, is that written or not? Not only that we might be justified, but that we might become the righteousness of God. And we all know that God is righteous. And we can also believe that God gave eternal righteousness on Golgotha to those who were acquitted. We can believe that too. And already, the worst person whom God has pardoned can rise up to thank the Lord that He has shown mercy before justice. The devil walketh around. Who can stop him? Until he is bound, he is loose. And we all know that the devil is loose. But one day, and that day is not far off, he will be bound and cast into the lake of fire. But for now, he is still loose. He walketh around. He has his work to do. Our task is to prove ourselves, as it is written here, whom resist steadfast in the faith. When are we steadfast in faith? When we say, I believe, or when we believe as the scriptures say. When we believe what the scripture says, then our faith has steadfastness. Then it has a foundation on which it stands. And the devil may want to apply scripture as he will. He has lost his right to the blood-bought multitude. And that we would truly take it to heart today. And see the redemption that has been given to us as God sees it and accept it as He has given it to us without ifs and buts, and resist the devil with steadfast faith. It is written that we must make our calling and election sure. This is about resistance we must offer in steadfast faith. When is faith steadfast? When it is anchored in the Word of God. And as Brother Branham says in one place, faith is a revelation. When what we believe has been revealed to us by God through the Spirit, that we have become part of God's cause, then he can't beat that, for revelation is foreign to him. Satan can only take the letter of the word. He can say it is written right and left, but he does not have the revelation of the written word. We have that. Revelation is something that God has reserved for the elect. And we do not just deal with a letter, but God has given us the grace to believe through revelation and on the basis of revelation. And that is the big difference. When it comes to faith alone, James 5 says, the devil also believes and trembles. He can go wherever he wants with his belief. But we believe as the scriptures say, and the faith we have received is divine revelation of what God has promised and given us in His Word. And the moment revelation sets in, faith comes alive and becomes powerful. And this is connected with Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is living, piercing, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. And then it says here, for our comfort, ye know that the same afflictions are being experienced by your brothers throughout the world. What we have to go through, all our brothers throughout the world have to go through. Of course, everyone feels their own pain, but everyone has to go through the same things. Do not think that the devil only visits us here and leaves the whole world alone. He brings the whole world into confusion and then has time left over. But thank God that we may believe by grace, as the scriptures say. We do not want to become the plaything of the enemy, but to be truly established in the Word of God. How many of you can accept tonight that complete atonement actually took place at Golgotha without any ifs and buts? And not just forgiveness anyway, grace and salvation, eternal life. But God has brought us back to the other side of the fall. We are just waiting for our bodies to be changed and for us to be taken up to the state where we belong by God. It is only a matter of time, but with God it is already accomplished. With God the matter is settled. Have you read this? Those whom He justified, He also sanctified, and He has perfected them forever. They are perfect. And what is perfected is finished, is complete. We are dealing with a glorious gospel, with a message from God to a lost world. Whoever wants to hear, let him be called and receive God's grace and be taken into the kingdom of God. I was reading earlier today, briefly in the book of Acts, and it struck me that even when the men of God were thrown into prison, they did not give up, but the angel of the Lord opened the door and led them out. Acts chapter 5. You can all read from verse 17. Right now, I will read from verse 25. Acts 5, from verse 25. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. If you read earlier, it is written in verse 23, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. The doors were still locked. The guards were standing in front of them, and the men who had been in prison were outside. This is our God. He opens the doors, even the prison doors. It says here in verse 19, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Amen. Not be afraid now, hide yourselves. You will be caught again and put in prison, but stand and speak. It was even specified where they were to preach and proclaim to the people in the temple all these words of life. And that is exactly where they were found. But look, the angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and shut them as if nothing had happened. He did not need a key. He did not need a locksmith. He did not need anyone. He did it himself. Our God is an almighty God. How often have we said it? He makes a way where there is no way. When he said to his people, go through the sea, then they had to go through the sea. And if there is no way, then he makes the way, because he said they should go through. Amen. That is our God. And I think we should learn to trust him more. I include myself in this, to honor him more through faith, that we pray in faith, speak in faith, that we no longer give voice to unbelief, but to the faith, the confidence, the hope that is in us, from and to the living God. Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. These are words of life that we proclaim. They are not dead letters. My Lord says, the words that I speak to you are spirit and are life. These are words of life that we have to preach. Then it says here in verse 21, and when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. They were no longer in prison, but were in the temple, proclaiming to the people the words of life. Beloved, may God deliver us from what surrounds us, from what holds us captive, so that we too may proclaim the words of life, the words of God in the liberty of the Spirit. We have a glorious message, a true message, a glorious word revealed by God, and we are not ashamed of the full gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. Included are all the promises for this time. Once again the verse I have already read, verse 23. The prison truly found we shut with all safety. If I had broken down the door would have been open and the lock broken. But here it was quite different. The angel of the Lord had done a fine work. As if nothing had happened, nothing was bent, nothing was broken, everything was as it was. Only one thing was different. The men of God were no longer inside. They were outside. They were where they belonged, proclaiming the word of the Lord. May God bless us and all His people with us. May it please Him to visit us graciously as He is worthy, and as we believe and expect, based on the promises He has given in His Word. Praise be to His name. Amen. Let us stand and pray. I thank You from the bottom of my heart for Your Word, for the redemption on Calvary, for the work accomplished for all eternity. I thank You that You have accomplished a complete work, a perfect redemption, a perfect justification. You have made us a divine offspring, sons and daughters of God. Faithful Lord, You had such confidence in the work You were going to accomplish that You were not ashamed to call us Your brethren. You knew that through Your death we would become full sons and daughters of God in Your image. I thank You from the bottom of my heart for this. Faithful Lord, may it now also become manifest that Your Spirit rests upon us to proclaim liberty to the captives, sight to the blind, salvation to the lost, and healing to the sick. Lord, deliver us from our own prison so that we may lead others out of their prison through the proclamation of the Word. My God, be merciful to us. Lord, I thank You for the testimonies. I thank You for the experiences. I thank You for the strengthening of my faith that I have been able to experience, and also for today's phone call. Faithful God, You work in powerful ways, and as promised a few days ago, I place my sister at Lake Constance, especially in Your care. She is being badly tormented by the enemy. Faithful Lord, I promised that we would pray today. I promised that You would bring about a turning point in her life today. Lord, we now unite ourselves in faith in You, the Son of God, and believe in the finished work of redemption, also for this sister, that she may be free in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, I also thank You that I was allowed to see the sister in Czechoslovakia who was terminally ill, given up by the doctors, and stood there in the prime of life. Faithful Lord, You have done great things. You are a glorious God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Savior, we ask You for one more thing. Sanctify this room, this place, this location. Let us come here with reverence for You, with respect for those who proclaim Your word in this place. For we have been told that we should respect those who carry the word. Faithful Lord, may we consider the elders worthy of double honor. May we obey your word in all things, that we may hasten and prepare ourselves, not lagging behind in any point. Faithful God, take special care of Brother Rus. Bless him. Grant him an anointing of the Spirit as never before, a liberty in the Spirit to proclaim your word in this place, in your name. Grant people faith, and may they experience you. Lord, sanctify the whole room, every beam, every stone, and the people. May this place be consecrated to you. We know that there are no holy sites or mountains. There is only the Holy One who is present. O Lord, we ask you to sanctify this place through your holy presence. Hallowed be thy name, and confirm thy word. Let us stand together as one heart and one soul. Take everything from us, every spirit, and leave us only the Holy Spirit. O God, we praise you and we worship you. Bless Eastern Europe. Bless Western Europe. Bless the whole world. Let the trump of God sound once again with a clear sound. Worship to your name. Who are we that we have found grace in thy sight, and that you have let us know your ways? Faithful God, even the sister who called me today, who suffered from an incurable disease for many years and suddenly saw me in a dream vision, and I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are healed. And now it has been a few weeks, and today she gave her testimony, and you have brought about a turnaround in the whole town. My God, you are on the plan. You are the same, yesterday, today, and forever. From now on, we want to expect that you are with your people, and that you confirm your word, and that you are victorious. And when this sister asked in this dream vision, Lord, I have been waiting for Brother Branham to speak to me. And then she received the answer, O God, here we are. We cannot do otherwise. Help us. You have ways and means. May unbelief no longer gnaw at us and torment us from this day forward. Your people are free. Hallelujah. Praise and glory be to you, the living God. Lord, we thank you in advance that the time is near when you will reveal yourself. Your hour, your time is near. Thanks be to you. Thanks be to you. Now and forever. Hallelujah. To your glorious name. Amen.